Today's daf is Pehei, and we begin on the top of Pehei Amud Aleph with a memra of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Bor shebein shtei chatzeros, each chatzer has not a door, a proper entranceway into a mavui that both of these houses border upon, but rather has a wall. So there are two walls representing the houses on these two, in these two chatzeros. And you could walk in between these two walls. And right there in the middle, there is a bar, a cistern of water, in the middle of this shvil, of this road, so to speak, this passageway. And the only Pesach that the Kosleya Chatzeros have into this shvil is through windows. And through these windows, they can have access to the bar in order to draw water through the windows by putting a pail into the cistern and drawing water. Now, what is the distance between the bar and the two walls on both sides? So you'll see here on the top of Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph that the Gemara says Mufleges Mikosel Ze Arba Umikosel Ze Arba. The cistern of water is equidistant between the two ksolim, the walls on the right side and the left side, and it's four tfachim of a distance from each kosel to the bar. So you have a kosel on the right with a window, and in order to draw water on that side from that chatzer, you would have to stretch your arm out more than four tefachim, which is pretty impossible. You'll have to sort of throw the rope with the pail in it. And the same is true on the left side and the other side. Now, in this case, the access to the bar, the use of the bar in order to draw water, in the case where it's muflag, it's more than four tefachim away from the wall, is considered ein ze tashmish noach. This is not a comfortable use. And it requires a certain element of zrika, of throwing. It's not something that you just, you know, put your arm out of the window and you grab and draw the water. And therefore, on one level, we could say that this tashmish, this use of the water in the cistern, is so far-fetched, so to speak, and that's not a bad term to use, far-fetched, because you've got to fetch the water from a distance of four tefachim. Therefore, it doesn't generate an iser on the other kosel, from here to there, because we always said that if one individual or chatzer has use of the third reshus, then that generates an iser on the other chatzer. So you always have two chatzeros with a third kind of a reshus. Like, for example, we discussed, you know, two chatzeros, the upper chatzer and the ground chatzer with access to the amud, to the sela, to the chulia sabar in the middle. And the fact that each one of these two chatzeros has access to that third reshus, that generates an iser and requires an eruv. Here, what we're saying is that we don't see the bar as being a very fine candidate for use from either one of these two chatzeros, because since there are no doors leading out from the various chatzeros, the walls of these chatzeros out to the bar, and the only thing they have is an opening through a window through which they have to stretch out and lower the pail, and then over this four tefachim distance draw the pail back in, one doesn't generate an iser on the other, therefore they don't need an eruv. What do they need, however? And here we have the statement of Shmuel. Zeh motzi ziz kol shehu umemale, v'zeh motzi ziz kol shehu umemale. We're going to need to add on the outside of the window of each one of these two ksalim, stretching out into the mavui, where the bar is located, a heker, some sort of a flag, so to speak. I'm using that metaphorically. And that's going to be a ziz, some sort of a platform that reminds them that this is not such a simple matter, so to speak. Remind them that there's a certain leniency in the fact that we allow you, each one of the two chatzeros, to draw water from this bar. And that's the statement of Shmuel, that on the one hand, we are going to be lenient. We're not going to generate an isur in the reciprocal way, going from one coastal to the other, back and forth, on the use of the bar. We're going to allow the use of the bar. However, we still are very inhibited about this halachically because we're afraid people might be tend to be mekil. They'll take this kula one step further and they'll be metaltel without an eruv in a case where you have a rishus, a third rishus, which both of the other chatzeros have very easy use of, which we said again, each one generates an isur on the other. And therefore, what we're going to allow is no eruv. We're going to let you stretch your arm out through the window and draw water from the bar, but set up this ziz. Rashi gives another example from a sugya in Masechta Shabbos that we learned together in the case of someone who's drawing water from the ocean and he's located in a boat. Now, the boat itself is Rishus HaYochid because it has mechitzos, whereas the yam should be a karmelis. Now, here, technically, although we don't allow carrying from a karmelis into Rishus HaYochid, we're going to allow you to draw the water in the pail from the ocean up to the boat because we're going to view the karmelis here as the karkois hayam. In other words, it's the floor of the sea. That's the karmelis that goes up only 10 tfachim. A karmelis doesn't go up beyond 10 tfachim. But the Gemara there establishes that we need a heker. We need something to remind them. It looks too much like a karmelis. It's too close for comfort. So we require that he attach a ziz to the side of his boat. And that's going to be a heker, a hekera, to remind him that although under normal circumstances you're not allowed to carry from a karmelis into Rishus HaYochid, here we're going to allow it because it's not a karmelis. The karmelis only goes up 10 tefachim and not beyond. So Rashi gives this analogy, the creative mind of Rashi, just to remind us that there are situations which the halacha says that although technically it's permissible, but it's too simple, it's too similar to another scenario, and you might confuse the two and extend the heter to a case which is also, and therefore they require a heker. Rabbi Yehuda Didei Amar, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who quoted Shmuel, his Rebbe Shmuel, and he says that afilu kanya, as if to say that Shmuel doesn't require a full-fledged heker, which is something like permanently attached, like a ziz, but it's enough to have a pole of some sort, which is very transitory, it's very flimsy, so to speak, and yet it could serve as a heker. And perhaps Rabbi Yehuda was building on the fact that when Shmuel required this ziz, he called it a ziz kol shehu. And a ziz kol shehu means a davar mu'at. You know, it's only a ziz that's a tefach in its length. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even a kana that doesn't have a shear of a tefach, that also could serve and fulfill the requirement of a heker. Fine. Omar le abayil Rav Yosef, hod Rav Yehuda de Shmuel hi. The statement of Rav Yehuda, meaning that these two chatzeros that have this bar in the middle require a tikkun, they need some sort of minor tikkun. It's not a lechi in a korah, but at least it's a ziz kolshu or a koin tribu de kane. That's predicated on Shmuel. And Shmuel was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, in truth, let's point out that Rav Yehuda had two Rebbeim. He was a disciple of both Shmuel and Rav. And Abai wants to point out that Rav Yehuda, in this statement of Afilu Kana, requiring, as it were, a tikkun, although a minor kind of tikkun, was standing on the shoulders of his Rebbe Shmuel. Apparently Abai did not hear that Rabbi Yehuda was quoting his Rebbe Shmuel. Otherwise, Abai didn't have to, you know, come up with this argument and logical connection between Rabbi Yehuda and his precedent in Shmuel. But, says Abaye, Rav would disagree in this case of the Bar Shebein Shtei HaChatzeros. He would not require any tikkun. He would not require neither a ziz, not even a kone. Da Omar, because Rav is of the opinion, Ein Adam Oser Al Chaveru Derech Avir, that if I have to throw something at a distance in order to get use out of it, then I'm not considered to have a tashmish choshev, any sort of significant tashmish, such that I would generate an iser on the other chotzer that wants to have access and use that rishus shlishis. In other words, Abai is pointing out that according to Rav, we have a principle of ein adam oser al chaveru derech avir. Therefore, in this case, where the only use, the only access that the two chatzeros can have to this bar is by throwing something, you know, getting that pail four tefachim into the bar, in such a case, there's no tashmish at all. The halacha doesn't even recognize that on the Richter scale, doesn't register as a tashmish, such that we would need any tikkun. Rav would not require a ziz, and not even a kana. Now, the ensuing sugya is to try to analyze what Abai had in mind when he said Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda requiring a tikkun in the case of the Bar Ben Shtei HaChatzeros was standing on the shoulders of Shmuel. And number two, Abai points out that Rav holds Ein Adam Oser Al Chaver Derech Avir. We now embark upon an investigation to try to find the sources for Abai's understanding of Shmuel Shita and of Rav Shita. First, let's take up Shmuel. Where do we see that Shmuel holds that there is a problem generating an Iser from one chutz to the other, even though the Tashmish is only Derech Avir? Elam, if you're going to suggest, Mehodi Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, there's another statement in the name of Shmuel, Gag Hasomuch Lurshusarab Tzorach Sulam Kavul Atiro. You may remember this from yesterday's discussion. You have a chotzer which is surrounded by machitzas on three sides, but one side is totally open to the rishus harabim. And inside the chotzer, you have a bayis that has a mirpeses on one level and a gag on the top level. And the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, insofar as they could have access to this gag, because again, there's no machitz on that side, so that the Rishus HaRabim, the Bnei Rishus, could go all the way in to the Chatzer, up to the Merpeses, and from the Merpeses they can climb up to the gag. And therefore, you have to get rid of the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, so to speak. You have to exclude them from the use of the gag. How do we exclude them from the use of the gag? Because if they have use of the gag, they're going to generate an iser on the Bnei HaMerpeses, those who live on the top floor of this structure that want to use and have access to carry it to the gag. So in order to break up their tashmish, meaning the tashmish of the Rishus HaRabim, so the Rishus HaRabim are out of the picture, we have to set up a permanent ladder inside the building that'll take you up from the Merpeses up to the gag. And that's a sulam which the Bnei Rishus HaRabim do not have access to. And that's going to be mat to the gag as far as tiltal for those who are in the Merpeses and they want to go up to the gag and use the gag. So they need a permanent ladder. By putting up that permanent ladder, the Bnei HaLiyah on the top floor are demonstrating that they want to have exclusive use and access to the Gag, to the exclusion of the Bnei Rishus Arab. And therefore the Bnei Rishus Arab, even though they could have had Shimush in the Gag, had the Bnei HaAliyah not set up this Sulam Kavua, that Shimush of Rishus Arabim in the Gag would have generated an Isur on the Bnei HaAliyah to use the Gag. And the question is why? Again, I'm talking about in a case where there was no Sulam Kavua. Why would the Bnei Rishus Arabim generate an Isur to the Bnei HaAliyah as far as use of the Gag is concerned? And the answer is that they have Shimush, they have access to the Gag. So Rashi explains why Rabbi Yehuda, relying on Shmuel in this case, would say that Lechora, the Bnei Rishus Arabim, have really no Shimush in the Gag. Why? Because they used to set up in front of the buildings where there was a building that bordered on Rishus Arab, and they wanted to protect their walls from all the wagons and the traffic of the Bnei Rishus Arab. They used to set up various kinds of yesedos, kinds of small pillars or poles that would separate the Bnei Rishus Arab that are going with their agalot from the Kosel. And if that be the case, then the Bnei Rishus Rabbim would have no choice but to distance themselves from the structure of the building, from the walls of the building. How then would they, the Bnei Rishus Rabbim, have access to the Gag if as they're walking up and down the public area, they have to maintain a distancing from the building itself? How would they use the Gag? The Gemara talks about during the rainy season, their hats would get a little bit wet, so they would throw it up on top of the Gag in order to dry it. And the answer would be through Zrika. Zrika means they'd have to throw it from a distance, and there was more than four tefachim between the wall and the Rishus HaRabim. And again, in the absence of a Sulam, the Bnei Rishus Rab would have generated an Isa on the Bnei Aliyah to use the Gag. Why is that so? It must be that Shmuel holds that even this uncomfortable, as we call it, far-stretched and far-fetched use of a Tashmish, it's called a Tashmish that generates an Isa, and it's going to require an Eruv in order to allow the Bnei Aliyah to use the Gag. So you see here clearly that Shmuel holds that even if the Tashmish is Derech Avir, you would have to get an Erev in there to be Matir, because Tashmish Derech Avir is also considered Tashmish, even though it requires throwing something at a distance. And so too, in the case of the bar between two Chatzeros, Shmuel is going to require a Ziz as a Heker, because we have a problem, because each of the Bnei Chatzeros in this case, both on the right and the left, have access and use of the bar, albeit through the window where they throw something up in the air that lands down into the bar, and that's a Tashmish al Yidei Avir, but nevertheless Shmuel considers that a Tashmish, and hence he requires a Tikkun. So Gemara says that's not a good proof. Why Dilma Kid Rav Papa? Rav Papa, back on Daf Pei Dalid, rejected this understanding, and he suggested that the Bnei Rishus Rabim used the Gag when they place their hats up on the Gag, and that's called a Shimush Gomur. That's a real bona fide Tashmish Gomur. It's not Al Yidei Zrika. So Tosfos here, Dibur Masel Dilma, tries to explain the Shakla V'Tarya of this Gemara. Initially, the Gemara thought that Bnei Rishus Rabim used the Gag only for very heavy masa'ot, you know, things that they carry that are heavy carries, and in order to get these masa'ot up to the roof, that's a real challenge because they can't come close to the kosel because of those yesedas that we spoke about. But now the Gemara says no, the shimush of the Gag for the Bnei Rishus Arab is not because of masa'os kvedim, but rather because of hanochas kova vesudar, and that's something that's very light, it's lightweighted, it's not kaved, and therefore it's very easy for them to place the hats and turbans on the top of the roof. Ella, says the Gemara, meha. We have to derive the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda, when he understood that according to Shmuel, even a tashmish al yidei avir is considered a tashmish that generates an iser on the other, on the reciprocal iser back and forth on the chatzeres. That's based on this Gemara that we just learned, the statement of Shmuel, in the case of a bar that is bein shtei chatzeros, zemotzi ziz kol shu memali, zemotzi ziz kol shu memali, meaning that the only situation, the only condition that has to be, must be met in order to allow each one of the B'nai Chatzeros to get access to the bar and draw the water from the bar is only time of the Apik. It's only because they were Motzi Ziz, they set up the Ziz, Holo Apik Amrinon, if it not for the fact that they set up the Ziz, that as a Tikkun, as a Matir, then Amrinon we would say, Odom Oser Al Chavero Derech Avir. Even though the access to the bar through the windows of the various koslim, of the various chatzeros, has to be derech avir, you have to throw it. Again, there's no Pesach on each side, on each kosel. You only have the chalon, so you're going to have to throw it up in the air, you know, like a lasso, you know, in a bullfight, you know, lasso out your dli until it reaches the bar, which is four tefachim away. And this needs a tikkun, because even the tashmish derech avir is considered a valid tashmish, which is legally binding, and therefore generates an iser, and that's why Shmuel requires a ziz, and Rabbi Yehuda derived from Shmuel his conclusion that you need some sort of a heker. He's not arguing against Shmuel when he says you allow, lower your standards to a kana. He was just pointing out that that's what Shmuel had in mind. You know, Shmuel didn't mean it had to be a ziz. When he said ziz kolshu, it would include even a kana. But we see that Shmuel requires a tikkun because tashmish al avir is an oser. Uda Rav mehechu. Now we try to investigate what's the source for Rav, because Abai implied that according to Rav, ein adam oser al chaveru derech avir. And that's why Rav dropped the bucket, dropped the requirement of a ziz in the case of the bar ben shtei chatzeros. What was the original statement of Rav that serves as the source for Abaye that ein adam oser derech avir? Elema meha, if you're going to tell me, from a sugi that we learned earlier, shtei gizuz teros, zolam alamizu. Right, you have these two verandas on the lower level and on the top level, and there's an angle between them. In other words, it's not that one is exactly correspondingly vertically aligned to the other. And osu mechitza lel yonav lo osu mechitza legustara gustara hatachtona. So only the resident on the upper floor created that char, if you remember, that hole, which was four tefachim by four tefachim, and there was a 10 tefachim distance to the water, and then he was allowed to draw the water up through this char. And the question is, what about the tachtona? And the halacha is that since the tachtona, the lower veranda, the lower floor, did not set up a gezuz teros, then what we're going to have here is shtehen asuros achi arvu. Now what that means is that even though the just one second, going to Rav. So that in this scenario, we'll call it the Dayoria Tachtona. I hope I don't have to translate that every time. The Dayoria Tachtona, in order to draw water, they have to throw the Dli up from the bottom all the way to the top, and then lower it through the char. Shtein asuros, both Dayorim, whether it's the Dayori HaTachton or the Dayori Elyona, are prohibited on Shabbos from filling, from drawing water from the ocean, Derech HaChor, through the hole that was created in the top, Guz Torah, because they both have use of this Chor. It's like a Chotzer that is Shel Shneim, and therefore Ad She'arvu they need an Eruv. V'yomar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Lo Shanu, when do we assume that even the Bnei Guz Torah Elyona are not allowed to draw water from the bar? Because the Bnei, the Guz Torah Elyona, is 10 Tfachim higher than the Guz Torah Tachtona. That's only Ela Bismucha. That's only because the Guz Torah HaTachtona is proximate, within 4 Tfachim, of the Guz Torah HaElyona. Avol B'Mufleges, if the Guz Torah HaTachtona is distanced, if you draw a straight line from the Elyona down, by 4 Tfachim, then Elyona Muteres Tachtona Asura. Why? Because now the Dayore HaTachtona, in order to get access to the Guz Torah, they need a Zrikas Hadli, they have to throw up the pail, all the way up to the Guz Torah Elyona, and that has to fly through an airspace of 4 Tfachim, right? So you're going up and to the left, so to speak, you curve over, in order for them to have access to the Chor in the Guz Torah Elyona and draw water. And that's considered Shimush Ba'avir. Why? Because they have to throw it up into the air and traverse a distance of 4 Tfachim. And therefore, says Rav, they do not, meaning the Dayori Guz Torah, in this case where there's a 4 Tfachim distance to the Guz Torah Elyona, they do not generate an Isur on the Guz Torah Elyona. The Guz Torah Elyona, in this case of Mufleges, is permitted to use and draw water from the Chor, through the Chor. So we see that Rav holds, Eino de Moser al Chaver derech Avir. So the Gemara answers, no, that we can reject. Dilma shiny hacha, dekeva dilaze bizrika vishilshul, filaze bishilshul lichudei, kilaze bizrika vilaze bipesach domi. What we're going to do is we're going to, so to speak, calculate in like a balance sheet the drawbacks and the discomfiture, I'm going to make up that word, of each of the two Guz Toros. In the case of the Guz Torah Elyona, all you need is shilshul, meaning there's no zrika whatsoever involved, they just drop down the pail through the chor. In the case of the Guz Torah Tachtona, we need not only shilshul, but we also need zrika. And the Gemara is saying that since they have to throw the dli for 4 tfachim and for 4 tfachim horizontally and 10 tfachim vertically, that number one is zrika. Number two, then even when they get up to the Guz Torah Elyona, they still need shilshul. So it's two against one, so to speak. And that's considered like the case of zrika, lezeb pesach, that if one of the dayarim has easy access and comfortable use of that third rishus, that's called a pesach. The other one needs zrika. So in such a case, we designate the use of that third rishus to the pesach. And here also, we're going to consider, in this case of shtei Guz Toros, as if the Guz Torah HaElyona has Pesach, again, even though they need Shilshul, but nevertheless, relative to the Zrika plus Shilshul of the Guz Torah HaTachtona, they're considered to have a Pesach. So it could be that Rav might hold that there is a din of Avir, a Tashmish of Avir is Oser Zel Zeh. But in this case, it's different. Why doesn't the In the case of Muflegas, why doesn't the Tachtona generate an Nisan Elyona? Because it's like a Zrika versus a Pesach, because of the double entendre. You know, the two strikes against you, the Tachtil Reisa, that the Tachtona needs not only Zrika, the Avir, but he also needs Shilshil, and that's why he doesn't rate as far as Tashmish is concerned. But in general, there could be, according to Rav, that even a Tashmish Derech Avir, when you have to throw something for Tvachim, that would be considered a valid Tashmish and would generate an Issa on the other side. Ella, therefore, we have to find the substitute source for Rav to prove that Rav holds that Ein Olam Osral Chaver Derech Avir, Meha, the Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Barvorma Rav, Shnei batim u'sholosh v'sholosh churbanos beinehem. Now here, a diagram is very helpful. I'll try to draw this diagram for you verbally. And again, here's a case where, David, I'm sure you're thinking, I'm reading your mind, we need that screen splitting and all that stuff. But I'm hoping that you have some sort of a diagram in front of you. What happens here is that there are two batim on the two extremes, and in between them there are three churbanos. In other words, a churva times three churvas. Now, two of these churvos, two out of the three that we have, are in between the two chatzeros, which means that one chatzer has very easy access to the churva that's next door to it, or to her, and the other chatzer has very easy access to the churva next to her. Theoretically, each chatzer could use both churvos. Let's say, for example, no one's living in the churvos, and the mechitzas of the churvos are completely in ruins, so they're open by more than 10 amos, and therefore they're prutzes zu lezu. Now, there are no other bailim that have any ownership, partnership rights to these two churvos, just these two Bale Batim on the two sides of the two churvos. Again, we'll get to the third churva in a second. And in each one of these houses, there are windows that open up into the churva. And in this case, Rav says, Zemesh tamish besomach lo, al yedei zrika, v'zemesh tamish besomach shelo, al yedei zrika. So before we get to the third churva, let's just understand what Rav is saying about the two batim and the relationship to the two churvas that are between them. Each one of the batim will be allowed to have access to the churva that's closest to it, but not to the churva that's on the other side, that's closer to the other bais. Now, as far as these two batim, how do they enjoy the benefit of the churva? And the answer is through zrika. They will throw whatever it is they have to throw through the window. Now again, if you throw something through the window, it's going to land on this side of the churva. They can throw it through the window and have it land even on the other side of the churva, which is closer, the end of the churva, which is closer to the second churva. But it doesn't matter. Either way, since it's Tashmish Ayidei Zrika, therefore it is designated for that bias. However, as far as the churva that's closer to the other bias is concerned, even if I would argue that there is a possibility of throwing it through the pirtza of one churva into the pirtza of the other churva, so that the object will land in the further churva, nevertheless, since the other bias on the other side has relatively easy shimush of that churva, therefore, right? And basically, we could say that the use of the further churva, as far as the further bias is concerned, is only called shilshul. The bias that's throwing all the way into the other churva, that's clearly zrika, but the bias that's near its neighboring proximate churva, that's only shilshul. So again, even if I would tell you that during the course of the week, both batim will enjoy the benefit, and through zrika they'll get it all the way to the other churva on the other side, but nevertheless, it's not going to generate an isur. And the reason for that is because use of zrika derech ha'avir through the pirtza between the churbanos, that does not generate an isur, which means that Rav's statement here is based on the principle underlying his ruling that tashmish bi avir eino oser. It's not called a tashmish. So if you're answering the question, why is it that although during the week bias, we'll call it L on the left, can throw something all the way across the first closer churva into the second churva and use the second churva, yet that bias L will not generate an Isar on Shabbos vis-a-vis bias R on the right side to use that closer churva, and that's because the use of L, the left bias of the further churva during the week, is through Avir. And Shimish ba'Avir, through that Zrika, is not considered Shimish. Now we turn to Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, Ve'hamtza'i Asur. Then there's a churva, a third churva, like a T, that connects, so to speak, one bias to the other. So we have the two churvas on the bottom of that diagram that separate the two batim, and then we have one churva going across on top, and both batim have equal access to that churva, and therefore that generates an iser on both bale batim, who are both using that churva equally. They have equal use and comfort and access to the churva through shilshul, and therefore they osrim zelze. Yosef Rav Bruna v'ka'omer lo hashmaitata. Rav Bruna was transmitting this ruling of Rav. And Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, apparently Rabbi Eliezer was present at the drasha of Rav Bruna, and he says to him, Bar Be Rav, a student in the Beis Medrash, Amar Rav Hachi, actually quoted Rav as saying that the churva emtzois is asura. Rashi explains that Rabbi Eliezer did not properly understand the ruling of Rav, or to be more meticulous, he did not understand the scenario that Rav was addressing. Rabbi Eliezer mistakenly thought that there were two batim on two extremities, left and right, and then between them there were simply three churvas, one after the other. The emtsayis, therefore, the middle churva, is mufleges kula mishnei abatim. In other words, the airspace between each one of the batim and the middle churva is a very significant avir. And if Rav was committed to rule that the emtsois is asura, then it means that even if your tashmish is derech avir b'muflag, nevertheless that's called a tashmish and generates an isur. Do you follow? In other words, you have two batim and you have three churvos. If Rav asses the middle churva, the reason for that is because each one of the two batim on the two extreme sides has use of the middle churva. Now, what kind of use do they have? I mean, it's a churva that separates them from the middle churva on both sides, and therefore it must be derech avir. So are you telling me, says Rabbi Eliezer, that Rav actually says that tashmish derech avir is called a tashmish and generates an isur? That was something that Rabbi Eliezer could not accept. Amalei, so Rabbi Bruno responded, in. That's exactly what Rav says, that the middle churva is asur. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Achvilish Pisa, point me out where Rav is staying. Where is his inn? Achvile pointed it. Also, so Rabbi Eliezer came to get it from the horse's mouth. He wanted to hear it from Rav directly. Lekami de Rav. Amalei says to Rav, Omar mar hachi. Amalei in. Rav says, yes, that is my position. Amalei, so Rabbi Eliezer says, wait a minute. Vamar hu di Omar. Lezeb shilshul v'lezeb zrika. Shneem asurim. This was a statement of Rav back on Daf Pei Gimel. In a case where the Shemush, one of the two Chatzeres has Shemush B'Shilshul, the other one has Bezrika. Shneem Asurim. Even though the Shemush of Zrika is a much more challenging Zrika, it's less comfortable, it's Tashmish Kosha Bezrika compared to Shilshul, we're not going to be mad to the Tashmish. We're going to say that even as far as that person, that chotzer, that's mishtamish b'shulshul, since he's also in the category of tashmish kosher, it's not a Pesach, it's shulshul, is let's apply the same reasoning here. And even if the Baal Bayis who's closer to the churva has a more comfortable use to the churva that's on that side, you know, close to the left, vis-a-vis, if we compare it to the Baal Bayis on the right, on the other extreme, nevertheless, since both of them do not have a Shemush Benachas, it's not a case of Pesach on both sides, on both Chatzeros, both Batim, but rather it's a Tashmish that's kosher, it's a difficult Tashmish, is therefore, they should generate an Iser one on the other. Amalei, so Rav responds to Rabbi Eliezer, Misav is the Kaima Keshura. You made a mistake when you understood the scenario as being that there are three churvas that are set up in a line, one after the other, and they separate between the two batim on the two extremes, and therefore the outer extreme batim have a what you call a churva hamafsekes, each one of those batim has a churva that separates between the batim and the emtsois, and therefore they're both using the emtsois derech avir. Oh, no, lo. Dekaima kichatsuva. These are called raglei akankan, like a segel. In other words, they're two and then one. Which means that there are two churbanos, right? Churva times two. Each one of them is proximate to the bias on its side. The shlishis is between, you know, is up on, you know, so to speak, mul, as we say, it corresponds to the two churbanos on the bottom. And these, and the sides, the ends of each of the, of the third churva reach to both ksolim, the walls of the two batim on the two sides. And the reason why, so ashtayim mutaros mipnei shabal bais merucha kiyoch l'shtam shmuchurva smucha l'chaver rak devach avir vein adam oser al chaver derech avir shlishas asu mnei sheshnei batim shtam shabatash mishnoach b'shulshul. Both of them have easy access through Shilshul to the third, you know, the T, the top of the T, churva, whereas in the case of the two churbanos on the bottom, for each chotzer to get access to the churva that's on the other side, that's already a tashmish bi'avir, that requires a great zrika, and tashmish bi'avir is not considered a tashmish. Now, at this point, the Gemara goes back to Shmuel, who says that Derech Avir is Asur, and therefore, in the case of the bar between two Chatzeros, he requires the Tikkun of a Ziz. Amalei Rav Papa LeRava, Lema Shmuel Lesle Deravdimi. The Gemara comes up with a scenario which it believes will set up what's called a Tashmish B'Avir, and yet Shmuel would be Matir L'chor. Well, it wasn't a statement of Shmuel. Technically, it was a statement of Ravdimi, but the Gemara thinks that Ravdimi, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, was formulating a halacha that was universally accepted, and that halacha entails a Tashmish of an Avir. So what's the case? You have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on one side, Rosh Hashanah Yochanan on the other, and in between, you have an amud, some sort of a pillar. That pillar is 3 tefachim high, but it's less than 4 tefachim wide, which gives it the status of a makom ptur. And Rav Dimi, in the name of Rav Yochanan, rules that the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim have a leniency, a permission to use that amud lekatef, right, when they wanted to, you know, shift the knapsack, let's say, from one side of the shoulder to another, and so too the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Yachid have access and permission to use that very same katev, that very same amud lekatef. There's only one limitation, one proviso. We're not going to allow the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Yachid to put down their knapsack, and then one of the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on the other side is going to pick up that knapsack, or vice versa, because then you're effectuating a hotzah, where the object started Rosh Hashanah Yachid and ends in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We're only going to allow each group, respectively, Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Bnei Rosh Hashanah Yachid Lekatev, and both groups are allowed use of that amud. However, the problem is that if you have two reshuyos that have access to a third reshus, then they should generate an isur one onto the other. So the Gemara says, Lema Shmuel Lesle Dravdimi. The Chiyosar of Dimi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mokom She'en Bo Arbal Arba. So you have something that, you know, is situated in the area between the Rosh Hashanah Yochanan and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it has less than Arbal Arba Tefachim, which means it's a Mokom Ptur. Right? Had it had Arbal Arba be a Carmelis, and you wouldn't be allowed to go from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a Carmelis or Rosh Hashanah Yochanan into a Carmelis, is Mutal Ibnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Viliv Nevish Seyoch Lekatef Olav. So they can place their knapsack on top of the Amud, and that's because it's going from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a Makom Ptur, Rosh Seyoch to Makom Ptur, Ubilvad, with the only proviso, Shalo Yachlifu. In other words, they can't make up a situation where, you know what, I'm in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, I'm going to give it to you by putting it down in a Makom Ptur, and you're in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you'll pick it up from the Makom Ptur. That they're not allowed to do. But anyway, we see clearly that in a case of an Amud, which is less than Arba Tefachim, which means it doesn't have what we call a Shir Makom, it's not considered a Makom, then we don't consider the Hanacha when he places it down on this amud. It's not considered a hanacha. And the Gemara identifies or analogizes this makom as if it was ke'avir, as if it's up in the air. Now, the question that Rav Papa is asking Rav is, how could Rav Dimi permit the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and the Bnei Rosh Hashanah Yochid to put their knapsacks, respectively, on a place which is a makom ptur in this case, without any tikkun, when we had a similar case of the bar, where Shmuel requires a tikkun, hotzah ziz, in order to allow both chatzeros to have access to the water, to the bar. And even though both chatzeros are muflagos from the bar, four tefachim, which means there's a shimush bi'avir, Shmuel nevertheless recognizes and validates Shemush B'Avir, and therefore he says that they're not allowed, they generate an Eser one on the other. Here also, We should not be allowed to permit the Bnei Rosh Hashayach, Bnei Rosh Hashirabim, to put their masa down without a ziz. We should need at least a ziz, because this area is like avir, and the use of avir, according to Shmuel, generates an isa. So the Gemara answers, Hasam Rishuyos Do Raisa. We have an interesting paradox here, that in the case of Rav Dimi with the Bnei Rosh Hashirabim, Bnei Rosh Hashirabim, we're talking about Hotza Do Raisa. People are very careful to avoid chas v'sholom any violation of hotzah d'orais. Therefore, we could be more lenient and we could drop the requirement of a heker. But Hacha, Shmuel, is talking about two rishus hayachids, and the Rabbanan created an iser of carrying something from one rishus hayachid to the other. And that's a rabbinic iser, rishuyos d'Rabbanan. Chachomim osu chizuk l'divreim yosem yishal Torah. The Rabbanu were more machmir when it comes to their Rishuyos, where they're afraid that maybe he'll come to be motzi from Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. Again, even though that itself is only a Drabbanon, but nevertheless, they're going to be machazik it. They want to make sure that a person will not come to carry from one Rishus HaYochid to another. And therefore, in the case of the Bar Ben Shtei Chatzeros, Shmuel says, we require a ziz as a heker. But not so in the case of Rav Dimi, because there we're dealing with Shayachid Doraisa, Shsarabim Doraisa, and such an Issa Torah to take something from one Rishus to the other is known, and it instills the fear in everyone. And therefore, we're not afraid that there'll be some sort of michshol here if we allow Kotev in a place that's less than 4 Tfach. Is it really so that Rav holds that Ein Adam Osal Chaver Derech Avir, that when you have Shimush through Zrika Derech Avir, that's not considered a Shimush to generate an Isra on the other band, on the other Chotzer? It's only Shimush Derech Avir. Va'itmar. What about a statement that we have in Shnei Batim Mishnei Tziderish Zeravim? We've discussed this case on many occasions. You have a Rishus HaRabim that splits between a bias on the right and a bias on the left. Rav Bar Avuna Omar Rav, also Lizrok Mizel Lizeh, Shmuel Omar Mutal Lizrok Mizel Lizeh. Let's start with Shmuel. That's the easiest shita. You're allowed to throw from one house to the other because it's above Yud Tfachim, and the halacha is that Rishus HaRabim only goes up as far as 10 Tfachim. So above 10 Tfachim, the Avir is called a Makom Ptur. Rav, on the other hand, says that even though you are throwing the object above 10 Tfachim, which is beyond the reach of Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, since both Batim have equal shimush in the avir, in the airspace, above the Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, it's as if they're using what's called a chatzim shutefes, you know, an area which is designated for shimush or available for shimush for both Batim. So you see clearly that Rav holds that osu lizrok mizel lizeh because tashmishel avir is an oseh. Amalei, so Rava responds to Ravino, Lav mio kimna dimidale chad umetase chad. Rava says you misunderstood. Even Rav would allow you to throw directly in a horizontal line, a beeline, from one bias to another. The case that Rav prohibited was a case where one bias was higher than the other bias. So we have like an angle between one bias and the other. And we're afraid now that if, let's say, he'll throw from the bottom house up to the top house, Zimnin de Megandar vin Nofil, in some cases, the object that he's throwing will not reach the height of the other bias. It's going to roll down and fall into the Shazaram between the two batim. And he might come to be metaltel, in other words, let's say he'll, you know, to retrieve the object he might be carrying for Amasim Shasarabim, or even worse, he might pick it up and throw it up again to make sure it lands on the other house, which is now a full-fledged Hotzah from Shasarabim to Shasayachid. However, As we said before, if the two batim are on the same line and there's no chashash of sheis galgel, you know, and it might fall in Rishus Rabbim, that's not an issue at all. Therefore, it's only avir, and avir is not an osir. And this leads us to the Mishnah here in the middle of Pehei Amid Beis. Where is the Erev allowed to be kept, right? If you have many batim that share a chatzer, we need an Erev chatzeres. Where is the Erev hosted? Where is it kept? Hadosin es Eruva bebeis shar b'chsadra b'peses eno Erev. The Mishnah enumerates three areas which do not have the status of ro'i ledira. The whole purpose of the Erev Chatzeros is to combine dira, as if they're all sharing one dira. So one of the various diros has to host the Erev, so that all the other diros are considered part, merging into that one dira. But here are three areas which are not called Ru'uyim Ledira. And for all intents and purposes, it's like you put the Erev outside the Chatzer. That wouldn't be meaningful. Achsadra, we said, is an area that's just a roof that's held up by four poles, but it's open on all sides. And Merpeses is a veranda on a line behind which is many, many different openings, entrances from the various different apartments that share that one Merpeses. But nobody lives in the Merpeses. Nobody lives in an Achsadra. What's a Beishar? A Beishar is a smaller kind of structure that's placed in front of a chatzer. It's like the shar of the chatzer. Actually, it's actually in front of the shar of the chatzer, I should say. And usually a security guard would stay there. But it's not a place for dira. It's just a place to enter into. It's almost like a vestibule, you know, to enter into the main place. Now, Vadarsham, if there's somebody living in one of those three, a Beishar and Achsadra and Merpeses, Eino Oser Olav. If he doesn't participate in the Eruv, that's fine, because his Rishus is not considered a Dira. And if it's not a Dira, then he doesn't have to participate in the Eruv. However, the Mishnah says there are other areas which are considered royal Dira. For example, a Beis Tevin, and that's where they kept the hay. A base bakar, where they kept the cattle, and a base eitzim, where they stored the trees, the logs. A base otros, that's where they stored the grains. In any of these cases, if they put the pas of the Erev Chatzeros in any of those, hareza Erev, it's a valid Erev. And vadarsham, if let's say, for example, the balabayas rents out the any of these base tevens, base eitzim, base bakar, base otros to somebody else who's living there, he's a resident there, oser, then he generates an isur tilta in the chatzer. He must participate in the Erev Chatzeres. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda Zakula, im yesham tfisas yad shel balabayis, if the balabayis retains inside this base tevin, base bakar, etc., a certain area where he leaves his clothing or his utensils, eino oser, then the renter does not generate an iser on the other batim, or let's say the balabayis, to carry from the bayis into the chatzah, because tfisas yad, according to Rav Yehuda, means that the balabayis is considered the host, and now the person who's either borrowing or renting that base Hateven is his guest. And when you have a host and a guest, the guest doesn't generate a separate balabayis whose participation in the Erev Chatzeres is absolutely critical. The Gemara says, Om Rav Yehuda, Breda Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Shilat stands for Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somi. Right, Kol Mokom Sha'omru Hadar Sham Eino Oser is Hanosin Es Eruveo Eino Eruv. Any place which is not considered royal adira, and it doesn't generate an isur tiltul in the chatzer if that person does not participate in the Erev. Therefore, you cannot put the Erev there. The Erev has to be in the dira, in one of the diras, hosting and merging all the diras together. Chutz mi beishar diyochid. The only exception is a beishar diyochid. And even though the person who's living in the Beis Shaar does not generate an Iser on the Chatzah, tiltal from the Bais of the Chatzah, if he doesn't participate in the Erev, nevertheless, you're allowed to put the Erev there. We view the Beis Shaar of a Yachid, meaning if this Beis Shaar only leads into, you know, one, let's say, you know, into one entranceway, and therefore it's considered like an extension, perhaps an extension of the bias, and therefore you're allowed to put the Erev there. Kol makom shamru chachamim ein menichem bo Erev, any place that's excluded from hosting the Erev, is menichem bo shituf. However, it is valid as far as shituf muvolos is, because you have many chatzeros that spill in and to one common mavui, then you're allowed to place the Eruv in one of the various chatzeros. Normally, which, for example, in the case of an Eruv chatzeros, then we have to have the Eruv in one of the batim. But in the case of a mavui, a sheet of mavui, that could be in one of the chatzeros. However, chutz mi avir mavui. However, it should not be left in the Mavui itself. It should be in one of the chatzeros that lead into the Mavui, because the Mavui itself is open to the public, and therefore it's not mishtamir. An Erev has to be in a place that's a little bit hidden. So if you have many batim that share one courtyard, you could put the sheet of Mavos in one of the in that chatzer. The assumption is that a chatzer is still a makom mishtamir, although the Gemara is going to change its mind about this. Anyway, Maikom Mashmalon, why did Rav Yehuda bar, Rav Shmuel bar Shilat have to tell me this? Tanina, we could have derived from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Anosin is Eruv Bebeis Shaar Aksadrim Impresseno Eruv. And if we medayik very carefully, then Eruv Hudalo Havi or Shituf Havi. That even though an Eruv that was an Eruv Chatzeros that was placed in any of these areas that are not generally used for Dira, that invalidates the Eruv. But in the case of Shituf, the implication is that would be a valid Shituf. And therefore, his Chiddush that he says, Kol Makom Shomru Chachom Emanichem Bo Eruv Manichem Bo Shituf, is actually implicit in the Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, no. There are two chidushim here of Rav Shmuel bar Shilat. Just 1 second, I lost the place. Oh, so the Gemara answers, Beis Shaar di Yochid. First of all, he's being mechadish that a Beis Shaar di Yochid, you can place the Eruv, and that's in the case of Eruv Chatzeros. So number two, Avri de Mavui, you cannot put the sheet of Mavos in the Avir of the Mavui, because the Mavui itself, as we said before, is a very open area. It has no Shimur. It's Rechle, Delos Nat. So for that we need Rav Shmuel bar Shilat, because that's not in the Mishnah. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned also in a Brisa, just like we medayik from the Mishnah, Hanosen is Eruvo v'beis Shaar, Achsadra v'pesas v'chotze v'mavui areza Eruv. Now, this makes no sense. The Brisa seems to say, against that Mishnah, that you're allowed to place the Eruv in any of these areas. Hotnan, ask the Gemara, Ein ze Eruv. The Mishnah says that Shaar, Beishar, Aksajim, Pesah is not a Mokum Dira, and therefore cannot serve as the host for the Erev Chatzeros. Ema, therefore, we're going to have to say that the Brisa, when it says Hare ze Eruv, is not referring to Erev Chatzeros, but rather raise a shituf, that a shituf mavos, sometimes in the language of the Mishnah, is called an Eruv. So a Beis Shaar, an Achsajan, a Merpeses, even though you cannot place the Eruv Chatzeros there, you nevertheless you can place the shituf mavos. So the Gemara immediately asks, how can you place the shituf mavos in a Mavui? I mean, one of the areas that the Brisa allows for the Shita Mavos is the Mavui itself, and we said the Mavui is open area, it's not a Mokom Mishtamir. Oh, Shita Mavo, Lo Mintar, it's not Mishtamir, it's not protected. Ema, therefore we have to assume, Bechotzer Sheba Mavui, that we're talking about one of the Chatzeros of the Mavui. Again, I'm not sure if it means one of the houses in the Chatzer, it means out in the Chatzer, because even out in the Chatzer is considered a Mokom HaMishtamer. And that's fine for a sheet of Muvot. Some Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, B'nei Chabur Shayu Mesubim, it's Erev Shabbos, and there's a group of people that are sitting down at a Seuda, V'kidesh Aleihem Hayom, and now it got dark, and it's Shabbos, it's Pashal Shulchan, Sochmin Olea, Mishum Eruv. Now again, the word Eruv here means Shituf Muvos, and if there's a pas on the Shulchan, they can decide that that pas is going to serve as an Eruv. That means that they had forgotten to make an Eruv. Now their meal is extending into Shabbos, so right before Shabbos, they can decide that this pas is an Eruv. Also, I said a Shituf Muvos, actually, it's both an Eruv for Chatzeros, and it could be valid as a sheet of Muvos, because again, Eruv Chatzeros has to be in one of the houses, so the person who's hosting this meal in his house, he can be now the host of the Eruv, the Amri Le, and some have, in the name of Shmuel, Mishum Shituf, that you're allowed to be metaltal in the Mavui, but the Pas is not going to replace an Eruv. And they're not allowed to be metaltel from the batim to the chatzeros. Omer Rabbi Vlo Pligi, these two transmissions of Shmuel are not mutually exclusive. They can be reconciled. Kan, the mesubi v'bayis, or kan v'mesubi v'chotz. If they're all sitting inside a house, then they can designate the pas on the table as an erev chatzeros, which has to be in a house. But if the pas is not inside the house, because they ate the meal outside the house in the courtyard, in the chotzer, then the pas could not be functional as an eruv, because an eruv has to always be in the bayis and not in the chotzer. Chotzer is not called a makom dira. Amalei Abai l'rova tanya nisailach, let me bring you a raya from a bryce. So the sheet of mavos you could also place in a chotzer. And the bryce says, eruvei chatzeros bechotzer, the Shitufa Mavos b'mavui. Now, what's going on over here? Havina, but we ask the question, Eruvei Chatzeros b'chotzer. We know that an Eruv Chatzeros has to be in a bayis. The Eruv has to be placed in one of the houses that share the Chatzer. Vasnan, and also in Eruv Beis Shar, Achsajim v'Pesos, Eino Eruv. Why? Because it's not a base Dira. And here also, if you put the Eruv into the Chatzer, it's not a base Dira, Eima. Therefore, we have to reinterpret this braisa, Eruvei Chatzeros bebayis, shebechotzer. So when it says bechotzer, we have to add the word bebayis, shebechotzer. But Shitufa Mavos is even bechotzer, shebemavui. In other words, as far as Shitufa Mavos is concerned, you don't have to place the pas in any one of the batim. You could even put it in one of the chatzeros. Again, you can't put it in the avir, the mavui itself, but you could put it in any of those chatzeros. And the reason for this is because the whole purpose of Shitu Muvos is to indicate that all the chatzeros are joining together. And chatzer is not a makom dira. So in the case of an erev chatzeros, where we're joining together all the batim into one dira, then clearly the erev has to be in a bias. But in the case of Mavui, what we're doing is the purpose is to join together all the chatzeros and merge them together as if they were one chatzer, and therefore the Erev could be in the chatzer itself, in any of the potential candidate chatzeros. Again, we have to add the stipulation that it's got to be in a makom hamishtamer. Okay, then Rabosai, here's where we're going to stop. We're up to Rabbi Yehuda Omer. That's three lines up before the end of Pehei Amud Beis.